Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian, the inevitable. Then floating out is Spanish Vision, but very elegant at the 150. The darling of the turf has raced clear 3 weeks incentivised, and it's very elegant. 10 group ones, and now the greatest of them all, the Melbourne Cup. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck, but it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings will dream at the 100. It's getting desperate now. Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good.
G'day punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where Will Alford, the bot, and myself, Ben Caluzzi, will be going through the Doomben 10,000 up there on the Sunshine State, and also Flemington. We've got some good racing here. No stakes racing as such down here, but there's a few good benchmark races with some horses that are likely to go through the grades. Will, what'd you make of these cards?
Well, Flemington's good. I really like the meeting, actually. It's very, very big fields, deep betting races, and if you can find a couple winners, you'll be paid. So yeah, like it, there's no small fields or anything. It's like maximum fields, and it's great betting, and there's no stakes.
I should probably racing. Edit that. There's no group racing, but there's two listed races.
There's two listed races, and obviously the ticket into the Melbourne Cup, the Andrew Ramsden. Yep. So, it's got some relevance towards the spring, but it's a good meeting anyway. I'm looking forward to betting on it.
Yeah, and a certain someone told me you were back on the tools today. How is it all going? When I say back on the tools, I mean an air conditioned office in Docklands, not actually on the tools.
Yeah, if you know me, then I would most certainly not be on the tools. But I heard from someone that you broke your nose last week. And how did that happen?
Happened during the football game. Went to tackle someone and just
so it wasn't on a night out.
Unfortunately not. Or fortunately, probably. Yeah, copped the full brunt of someone's shoulder to the schnoz, and it was pissing blood. Tried to be a hero and stay out there, but my opponent actually dobbed me into the umpire, and I had to be taken off with a blood rule for about five minutes. So that was always fun. But
was it going sideways, or was it?
Yeah, it was a little bit bent. And then the trainer had to get this little tool and like straighten my nose back up.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, when the adrenaline's pumping, it doesn't actually hurt as much as you think, but breathing becomes an issue more than anything.
Yeah, true.
All right. Anyway. What do you think is happening or doing with this Flemington track? The rail goes out 4 meters. It's currently a soft five, but reasonably clear conditions over the next few days. I think the last few meetings, the straight has definitely played middle to outside, but how do you think the circle will play?
That's tricky, Flemington. I don't think it's an advantage to be leading like it is some other tracks. Like I think sort of midfield, I don't really When I'm betting at Flemington, I'm not really penalising horses based on their map unless it's they're going to go all the way back to last, because obviously being in the last sort of quarter is a losing proposition. But I like, as long as they're sort of midfield to on pace, I'm like, when I'm betting at Flemington, I don't really care. And pace, obviously, like when I'm doing like a, like when I do my, like I don't do a speed map, I don't really care, but I still look at like a general sort of pace cast. So like it's a, I get a general idea of what the pace is going to be. I don't set a speed map. Like I don't try and force horses into certain positions and unlike make decisions off of like a projected position in run. Like that, I think that's just a bad idea. So I just sort of like to have horses in a general sort of spot and get a general idea of what a pace might be, and I don't try to think about that too much. But at Flemington, like, you just don't really need to think about it unless it's like obviously on pace or like obviously bias to one side of the Flemington straight, and halfway through the meeting, then you can change the way you're thinking. But at this point on the Thursday,
yeah, you can.
I'm not. Well, that's your own fault.
I would say a good portion of our listeners will be playing football on a Saturday, so don't assume.
Yeah, well, I am not playing football on a Saturday. I am betting.
One thing, yes, with Flemington compared to, say, a Moonee Valley is it's such an open track, so the wind does have a lot more of an effect compared to the Valley, where there's a lot more protection.
The Grandstand Cup stops the wind, but obviously with the reconstruction of Moonee Valley, that's going to change. So,
yeah, you know. Well, the good news is it is only a 12 to 13 kilometer south.
It's nothing.
A southwesterly sort of wind or southeasterly on Saturday, so that shouldn't really have too much of an effect on the races.
No, and there's no rant about, but you know.
Yeah, so hopefully regulation Flemington going into it. All right, I've got a bet in race two, so that's where we're going to start. The Murray Cox handicap, 1800 meter benchmark 84. The favorite is Mirazan, $3.20. Import for Chris Waller from Euphoric, $6.50. Mufalex, $6.50. Sir Kingsford, $7. And Cadmus, $8. I'm really keen on a two bet play here. Obviously, your starting point has to be this international Mirazan, who was impressive on his first Australian outing. Carried the big weight of 61 kilos and gets down to 54.5 kilos. But I'm taking a set against him here because I think he actually had things in favour the other day, because they actually went a genuine gallop. It was fast for the class, the tempo. I think they went 2 to 3 lengths faster than average to the 600. And I think that really suited him because he is a horse who brings over good staying form. Got to 3,000 metres at only his fifth start back home in France. And we see time in, time again, that these imports come over and they run really well over the mile first up, or this was 1,700 metres in this case, and then they tend to go a little bit flat second up. So I'm sort of banking on that. I don't see as much speed in this race compared to last start. And for me, although he does drop significantly in weight from 61 down to 54.5, gets D-lane, I just think he's way too short at $3.20. And these weight drops, we know, I think these big weight drops are a lot better suited. We hear Jules Valance and others speak about it, a lot better suited to acceleration horses. He's a genuine stayer. And I think the main reason he fought back on Cadmus last start in that last 100 metres was because his staying qualities were coming to the fore. But let's get to my bets. Euphoric is the first of those. This horse gets the blinkers on for the first time. I think coming back from 2,000 metres to 1,800 metres is perfect. He actually started favourite in a benchmark 100 last start, won by Midnight Blue. It was a bit of a weird race. He actually crossed the line with horses like Barclay Square. That's good enough for me. He started equal favourite in a Cranbourne Cup. And I know the map's a little bit icky. He'll go back from eight, but this just looks like his race. And blink is going on 1,800 metres. I'm really happy with him. He's got good Flemington form. And the other one, I'm going to stick with Cadmus. I know that the favorite Mirazan gets a fair weight swing on him, but Cadmus was $4.80 last start compared to Mirazan, who was about $6.57, and he went straight past him. I think another major gear change is that Cadmus goes from Tatum Bull to Billy Egan. You know, nothing against Tatum Bull, and it's nothing personal, but I just think a senior rider is going to get even more out of this horse. And you can see in the last 100, Tatum probably just lacks a bit of strength to really get the most out of this horse last start. And I think $8.50 for this horse is exceptional betting. So I'm happy to back Euphoric and Cadmus. Cadmus is third up and had the wood on Mirazan last start. So despite the weight swing, I'm happy to back both of them, and I'm pretty keen. Any thoughts?
Yeah, Paul? I could not agree with you anymore. I think that like those are the exact same sort of thought process I had. I thought there's obviously a big weight swing. Mirazan carried 61 kilos last start, first up, and was backed. But I think it's to have him that price, like three, like the turnaround in price is like just based on, I think it's purely based on weight.
And maybe dead weight.
I think. Oh yeah, that too. But also like Cadmus ran right past him. Yeah. And Cadmus gets Tatum aboard to Billy Egan. Like that's a jockey switch in its own right. So I think that the ratio between the two is just completely off. I did think Mirazan should be favourite. I've had Mirazan about $4.50 favourite.
Yeah.
Just on the weight swing. But I'm always cautious, like you said. The imports, they can sprint well fresh. Kieran Ma, I think is a lot better than Chris Swaller at getting the imports to maintain sort of getting up in distance. So I think Cadmus is a nice bet. I don't love it, but I could if I was gonna have a bet in the race, I'd back Cadmus, and I probably will, to be honest. And Euphoric I had a little bit shorter than $7 as well. So I actually thought there was gonna be a bit of pace in this race because Sir Kingsford's drawn wide and his sort of main go is just go really, really, really fast. And Holbein's in the race as well, obviously, and Move for Lex will kick up. So I actually thought the pace would be sort of average to above average. I did have a bit of a query on the map for Cadmus. I just think like that could take him back further than what he needs to be. And Euphoric's not that far to start of the barriers as well. I think Mirazan actually might get a nice run. And maybe the map for Mirazan actually has something to do with it. I don't imagine it'd be too far away from Barrier 4 with Damien Lane on, but
I just think these price assessors overreact to these weight swings sometimes, and this is another example.
If you're looking at the weight for age ratings, I get it, but like even still, just looking at the late sectionals, I think it's an overreaction to have Mirazan 320 best price and best price Cadmus is 850. Like third up, Cadmus peaked running big splits all over them at Moonee Valley, third up, and like sort of like it's the same profile here, and it's a big track third up. Like I think it's a, if you wanted to have a bet here, I think Cadmus is just the one you just don't even think about it and just have a bet.
Beautiful. All right, might be on one there. Let's go across to race three. It is a benchmark 78 for the fillies and mares over 1200 meters. Neance is $2.90 favorite. Not sure if I've said that right, but Wack and Jadia is $4.20. Prairie Flower, $8.50. Pucatiro is $10, and Fearless Rider is $10 as well.
Yeah, the favorite is a progressive horse. It's from New Zealand. It's got form through Sons Dute, who's obviously come over to Australia and done some nice things. They absolutely bombed it in betting second up, and it won well at Sandown, and they like just put like the economy of a small African nation on it at Flemington, and it bucked at the start and ended up losing. It started $1.56 Betfair SP, I think you take the expected rating from that and then just chuck it here. You can't base it off that run. And like, if you do that, I think just $3 is just like, you don't think about it and you just bet. And it's really simple. It's just like, it's a really, really simple bet. Yeah, I think.
And I think draw on the right side as well on 11.
Yeah. And he's sort of surrounded by pace as well. Like Moomam will be there. Zuforia sort of goes forward and Wack and JJ's sort of half awkward. Like he's surrounded by horses that'll get back in the race. So he might find himself a little bit too far back, whereas Neance might be just sort of just outside the lead. I think that's it. More like, I think 240 was the price I settled on for him. I didn't mind Wack and JJ at all. I thought he was a respectable. I kind of think it's a two horse race. Just on the expected rating, it just sort of just screams bet. And I can see this starting sort of. I can see this being very, very well backed.
Yeah,
because it has a history of being well backed, and it's a very easy excuse to sort of just say, well, it bombed the start and. Like, I think it got quite warm in the parade ring as well. So, like, maybe you'd want to wait, but I don't, like, I'd rather just take three. Like, I don't know. Like, I just think just taking $3 now is what I'm going to do.
Best bet?
Well, at some point anyway.
Possible?
I don't know about best bet, but it's a bet.
Yeah. All right. It might be Neance sounds better.
Neance.
Let's go with that. All right. Race 4. 3-year-old race. Open. Handicap 1400 meters. Mowdown is the $4.20 favorite from Flying Fizz in the same colors, $6.50, different stable. The Shape is $7. A Book of Days is $7.50. Gallant Prince, $9.50. And Rip Roar, $10. He's been a little bit forgotten about after a few. Well, he had one really average performance, then last up was just okay. What do you think of this race?
Rip Roar, yeah. Like he was awesome first up. Then I backed him, then he rated down massively for no reason at all. And then he. Reversed form and ran a massive race at Caulfield. There's pace on in this race. I'm not sure what La Zebra wants to do, but it's sort of Mango in has been, especially as a 2-year old, going up on speed and sort of pinching it. So I think from barrier one, they're sort of forced to go forward. So is Zombie Missile. A Book of Days has lots of speed. Gallant Prince has been going forward in its races. Rip Roar, I don't know what it really does. Because it can go forward, but from barrier 10, I'd probably say that they go back, and obviously the Shaper will go back as well. It's staying at 1400 meters. I think that's a negative for the horse. I think it needs a mile at this point. The favorite Mowdown was obviously a really nice run at Caulfield, where it was wide on the track, where it was an advantage to be sort of inside. But the horse doesn't have much speed, so I think it might get sort of. A lot, like not a long way back, but I think I'm up in the sort of back third of the field. I think I want to back a horse to do something here, and that's Flying Fizz. So Flying Fizz was back and wide. So it jumped, like springed out of the barriers. It was first out, and it has been doing that. Like it's a very quick horse out of the barriers. So you can make a real case that this horse is completely unexposed, and we haven't seen anywhere near the best of it. It was taken back to last and wired at Warrnambool, and obviously it was a day where you wanted to be leading and on the rail. It ran massive splits, the fastest last 200 metres of the meeting. It's got form through, obviously, Miraval Rose, who started $4.80 versus Learning to Fly, who ran second in the Sangster. I think this is a really nice bet. It went to Sandown at its second start and ran enormous splits. There, I think it's a really nice horse. I think it can sort of sit in the first five or six in run. I think it'll stay off the fence because I think it'll sit outside Zombie Missile, who's drawn inside it. And that'd be my main query if it sort of gets like sort of three, four back to fence. But I think it might sort of just sit like three back, one off. I think it's a nice bet. I also think that. Riverina Power is a little bit too big as well. It's a really nice horse. It's got sort of ran fourth in the Blue Sapphire, like behind Arkansas Kid, Brave Mead, Run Harry Run, those sorts of horses. And then was a flashing run behind She's Bulletproof, Light Wish first up. And then was well backed at Warrnambool when it was sort of three wide, and you didn't. That's obviously where you didn't want to be. So I think it's $26. And Tom Dabenig is absolutely airborne at the moment. Like you just like look through his numbers. Like he's just like wins versus expected. It's just it's like ridiculous. Like 20, he's winning four. He's won 14 from his last 50. 28% strike rate, and the median price is $11.25. So it's just ridiculous. And the wins versus expected is like 2.24 wins over the market expectation. So it's just ridiculous.
Bot payroll. Bot on yeah. The Tom Dabenig payroll. That's what I'm.
Yeah, well, yeah. I am a fan of Tom Dabenig. he's yeah, but. But this is yeah. I think Riverina Power, you can just have something on it. It probably gets back, but you know, like it probably jumps like 30s, 40s, and you just have something smaller. I think it's more like a $16 chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the market I think is relatively right. I think like I've got the Shaper $7.50. It's $7.50. Gallant Prince, I've got it $10. It's $10. Ripper, I've got it $11.50. It's $10. So. It's hard to get off market in this race, but I think the value is with Flying Fizz, who I've got about $5.50 and it's $7.50.
Yeah. I'm actually happy to back both of Cole McKenna's horses here, Murrowdown and Flying Fizz. Probably have sort of two units on Murrowdown, one on Flying Fizz. Murrowdown, as you mentioned, he was really good behind Elphinstone. Elphinstone should have clearly ran second to Shaw the other day, I thought. Jayla Kennedy was sort of bottled up on the fence and horsed a lot wrong, sort of just running up arse the whole straight. But I think should have definitely ran second to Shaw. I think that form is solid. He's rock hard fit, fifth up. He gets Damien Lane on, gets the blinkers on. I guess with the blinkers going on, you always have to be a little bit cautious because they can miss the start when they go on. And he's drawn low, a horse not with a great amount of gate speed. But hopefully Frosty can have him sort of midfield. And I think he's the deserved favourite. Pretty hard to knock sort of his Bendigo Guineas run and his last start run as well. And then I'm happy to back Flying Fizz as well. Just completely ignore this horse's last run at Warrnambool. It was still a good run, but the track was just absolutely cast and you just couldn't make that ground. It was just playing completely fence on fire. And I thought he was enormous to get as close as what he did. And going back to last preparation, she has definitely got a fair amount of talent. So happy to back the two of them. As you said, Flying Fizz, $7.50. You probably want to be taking that now, though.
Hmm.
All righty. Are you betting in the fifth?
Yeah, I'll just say I think Bifrost is a nice bet. It's like 36 is the best price, but yeah, in that race, I think the favorite lose some, win more is way too short. I think Sisterhood should be favorite, and I don't know if I want to back it though. But like if I get $7 Sisterhood, I'm like probably gonna back it. Pretty Tabby was really good first up, but it does have a history of racing really well first up, and then dropping off into the preparation, but I'll probably have something on it as well. I think $13 is too big, so I think White Bear is way too short as well. It's been backed, which is a little bit confusing, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I think there's still a little bit of hype around White Bear, to be honest.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to race six.
I'm still on the floor.
Yeah.
It was the biggest firm of all time and went shit house.
Yeah. Race six is a 2,000-meter three-year-old race. Heed the Omens is $4 favourite, another D-Lane favourite from Aztec State, $4.80, Kings Valley, $7.50. Cotton Tree was enormous winning at Warrnambool, $9, and Sabin is $9 too.
Yeah, Cotton Tree was enormous. It beat the horse, it's Boga something, Boga Legend.
Boga Legend, yeah.
Who won tonight at Pakenham and bolted in, so... Yeah, I am probably going to back Cotton Tree. I think $10 is fair. I've already backed Aztec State, but I took $8, so it's probably unfair of me to suggest backing it now at $5 because that's the price I have it. I have it $4.80. I think Heed the Omens is just about the right price. I have it just favorite. I think it ran nice splits. But sort of fifth run, first preparation. Oh, it's probably fourth run because it did lose the rider in its third start. So you probably can't really say that. But in this race, I thought Kings Valley, who opened second favorite, is awful value. I think it's one of the worst. It's like it's just way, way, way too short. I think the only reason why it's sort of anywhere near anything in the market is because it's an Irish horse, it's an import, and it's 2,000 meters. So I don't get it. I think it's awfully weighted in the race because it's actually a 2-year-old. Or not? No, it's a 3-year-old, but it's younger than these horses, but it has to carry the same weights as them. I think it's been a big drifter already. I wouldn't be surprised if it starts 20s. I'll probably back Navy King as well in the race. They went really fast in that race at Caulfield, and it's stuck on well enough. If the pace is, the pace in this race is, I don't know really what they're going to do. I think it probably just ends up being average, but it could go like these 3-year-old staying races, anything can happen. I'm on Aztec State. It was strong through the line. It sort of came wide around the Caulfield turn, and like it was a good ride, but it's bred to stay. It's related to Tom Melbourne, which is like I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but I'll back Cotton Tree too. I think $10. I have it. What price do I have it? $6. So.
Yeah, I agree with everything you say. One from the six, Cotton Tree, big sort of punting form number for a horse only having its second start last time around, sort of 4.6 lengths above the class average. I thought that was pretty impressive. And going to 2,000 metres, dropping 4 kilos, 3.5 kilos at the weights, 58 down to 54.5, I think can measure right up. But Aztec State, I would say goes on top. So one from the six. There's a lot of agreeing going on, Bot. So we'll see how
there's,
we go next.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
But Bon Mistress is, it's the price is being cleaned up now. I was thinking about backing it, but I didn't. It ran a nice race in the Australasian Oaks, and the pace was really fast in that race, and there was nowhere to hide. So it running where it did was, like, even though it did start $324 Betfair, I could see it winning. It's been 31s into, what is it now, 16. So, like, if it gets back out, I'll probably just have a tiny bet on it.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the first listed race of the day. It is the Straight Six, 1,200 metres. Stepardi, the 3-year-old returning, is the $5 favourite from Who Dares, $7.50. Joyful Fortune, $8. Waltz On By, $9.50. It's Our Time, $11. And Mahaba is also $11. Just a quick speed map here, Bot. Joyful Fortune only knows one way. So he's drawn out in 14. He looks probably one of the main speed influences. General Burrow won't be far away. And probably Master 8. It's another one who really wants to go forward, the ex-Hong Kong horse. What do you think of the map?
There's pace sort of all over. So, they'll go really quick here, I think. Stepardi has to go forward, I think. Maybe they don't have to. I don't know. But I'm against Stepardi. I know Nico really likes him, obviously, because Nico's backed this horse how many times? I've backed against Stepardi so many times and I've gotten burnt every single time. I don't think I've ever backed against Stepardi. He's won every single time. But he's much better at 14, I think. I don't think he's quite... Yeah. The 3-year-olds aren't much good. We know that. And I think he's better over four. He's bred to be a 1,400 meter miler. So I think $5 is a bit skinny for him.
Apparently he needs to win this to get into the Stradbroke field.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Okay. Well, that makes sense. But I guess there's probably a bit of intent, which is, you know, but I've still sort of priced him somewhere near his best. And I'm pricing him off better than he's ever gone at 1200 meters. So I'm being generous to him. It's just not up to his complete best because he's two peak ratings and he's only had the seven starts. So like it's a small sample, but he's clearly best two runs have been at 1400 meters. So that's enough for me to I'm not even really taking him on. I just think that Waltz on by and Who Dares are two horses in great form, and Waltz on by is coming out of the Sangster and won really well at Caulfield in the Mystic Journey, and that's a really hot form race. Obviously Sione's come out of it, and Lady Jones has run really well since as well. I think Waltz on by has improved the last two preparations like significantly. She's a horse that's 1200 to 1400 meters is her go, and she's obviously by Stay With Me, who's a out of Miss Finland. There's a bit of a page there. I think she's sort of coming into her best. She's obviously improved, and Who Dares is the last sort of four starts has just turned into a different horse. There were clear excuses in the two back in the Royal Ascot Play. It was probably end of prep run, and it was 14th up, and they went really quick there. First up, it just sort of, it was off the map. It was about 16s into $8 bet fair in the last sort of 10 minutes of betting. And the last 200 meters was dominant. And I think it just gets a sit off the what I think will be a strong enough pace. And I think if it holds its form off last time, I think it can win as well. So $8 and $10, I have them both 650 equal favorites. I think Joyful Fortune will continue to drift. It's already been a bit of an early drifter. It's 8.50 now. I think it opened $5. I'm not exactly sure. Nicolini Vito is another one I could have a small bet on. It goes really well down the Flemington Straight and obviously wasn't perfectly suited at Warrnambool. Poison Chalice is, I know it's probably a mile or even a 2,000 meter horse in time, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if this horse just wins on talent. It's best ever run is over 1800 meters last start, but it's just so talented. I think it would not surprise me if his horse just ends up running over the top of a really hot pace. So, at this point, the two bets I'll have are Who Dares and what's it called?
Waltz on by.
The other thing, Waltz on by.
Yep. I'm going to add another one to the mix. One of mine, but It's Our Time, I think, was just about the run of the race in the Wongoom, sort of circling wide, got within a length of Tuvalu, who had the big weight, yes, but was up on speed, had the fence advantage. I think this horse was absolutely enormous last start. And the big thing with him here, we know he loves the straight, but he's also drawn right next to Joyful Fortune, who's just going to give. So I think he's going to be on the right side of the pace. Step Hardy drawn barrier one, that just grazed me up a lot. I just don't know how he maps. And the last three meetings, I've gone back through the meetings at Flemington down the straight, and all the winners have been middle to outside. So I think It's Our Time sets up perfectly here, drawn barrier 16. There was some $15 available, but Hard to Say came out, so 8 cents deductions, and he has been backed a little bit as well. So I don't know. I might wait. You might still get a little bit better than what's on offer now. He's not a noted winner by any means, but I think you can have a pretty confident bet each way, $4 a place. And if you sort of get $13, $14 a win, I think that's more than acceptable. Take your point, Waltz on by and Who Dares. The only little query I had on those two is, are they looking for 1,400 meters now?
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe. I don't know.
That would be my only knock on them. Who Dares was resuming, sprinted well at 1,200, stays at 1,200, draws a right side in 18, but I think maybe more of a 1,400-meter horse. And Waltz on by, she's been awesome. She did get a long, long way back in the Sangster and finished off well, but potentially might be looking for 1,400 as well. But I would have them in my top four as well. Step Hardy, you can't... I don't know. It's hard to leave him out of everything, but I just think I've got to take him on here, drawn barrier one. And it's not easy just for a three-year-old to come up against these horses who are actually decent sprinters. So you can look at it and say, Step Hardy, $5, what a cracking price. Or you can say he's coming up against older horses for the first time. and he's drawn horribly. So it's a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah, like his 1200 meter forms, like
he beat Centrefire one day.
Yeah, and they walked and they essentially handed it to him, and then he sort of turned up. I don't know if there were issues. He got a bit keen. I don't think there were any issues for him last time. But Brave Mead smashed him fair and square. So
yeah. Well, if Nico was on the podcast, then that race would have gone
That
would have gone for another 10 minutes. So Nico's very keen on Step Party, come back a bigger, better horse, apparently, but we'll find out on Saturday. All right, race 8 is the listed Andrew Ramsden, $500,000 listed race over 2,800 metres. And if you win this, you're in to the Melbourne Cup, first Tuesday in November. The map is the $2.80 favourite. It does look a little bit skinny. Leonel is $7, mostly cloudy, $8. Strawberry Rock, $8.50. Let's Be Frank Baby, $9.50. And Acceleration, who beat the map in the Adelaide Cup, is $10.
Any
map first? Yeah.
There's no pace at all in this race. So it makes it hard to, like, I have no idea. I guess maybe Garachico maybe goes forward. Let's Be Frank Baby probably goes forward as well. SD Feeney too. I don't know. I have no idea. Like, any of them could just sort of decide to just go forward because they see that there's no clear pace influence in the race. This favorite is very, very short. It's obviously progressive, and I understand that. And the sectionals were good last time, and there was a big sort of SP, like it started $2 Betfair. Like it ran six above the last sort of 400 meters, like massive splits. But it's sort of been to that level the last four starts, and there's some progression, but there's, like, I just haven't seen it, and it had the perfect opportunity to do it against Acceleration in that Adelaide Cup, and it just didn't. It's not a horse with a load of speed, and it's drawn barrier one, so I assume it's probably going to get back. It's got Damien Lane on, so he's smart enough to figure it out. And he probably ends up sitting box seat, to be honest, because he's smart enough to figure that out. I just think she's to have her that price is just, she's just way too short for me. Acceleration beat her last start in the Adelaide Cup. He's 7 days between runs, but he's a horse that he's an 8 year old, and he's had how many starts? Like probably like 20 starts or something like that. And he's had 19 starts. So, he's a horse that lots of his form's over a mile, because I think the problem with him is he's just a horse that's had lots of issues over his career, and they just haven't been able to get enough work into him to get him out over these distances. Like, they haven't been able to build fitness with him, and maybe that's some concern with the 70 days between runs. Maybe something happened between the runs, but like on the strength of the Adelaide Cup run, like he won well, and he went through sort of Tasmania, and he was off the map to win in the Lost Launceston Cup, and I just think he just keeps getting better and better the further they take him out in trip. Like, obviously there's a bit of a weight swing, but I think there's enough to have him a lot more likely than $10, on the weight swing anyway. Like, you just can't have, like, the $290 to $10 is just a massive disparity between the two, just based on I think it's just based on a weight swing. It might have something to do with
recent form.
Yeah, the recent form and the days between runs, but yeah, I don't know. Mostly Cloudy's another one that interests me a little bit. I think it's a nice horse, and I ran really well in the Sydney Cup last time. I've backed Captain Envious already too. I think its best form is the best form in the race. It was poor last time, but that Mornington Cup was a really weird race. Captain Envious is a horse that was running big splits behind Sulcombe in the Queen Elizabeth 2 years ago. And obviously ran really, really well in the Easter Cup and won that race at big odds. I think it probably goes back to last, but I think it's a massive chance. A lot better than a 20s chance. I took that those sorts of odds, and I have it $10, and I backed Little Mix as well. I'm just able to have a bet on a couple other horses just because I don't like the map at all. At the price, I can say that it's favourite, but it's just 290 is just gross.
Yeah. Well, I like Mostly Cloudy a lot a bit. And the more I look at this race, the keener I get on his chances. I just think fourth up, 2,800 metres, it sets up really well. It ran so well in the Ramsden behind Mark Twain a few starts back. And then if you look at his Sydney Cup run, he actually gets poleaxed when they swing for home and gets pushed sort of three lanes towards the outside fence. And he's going to be a lot closer in the run here from barrier three. I think he'll turn the tables on Strawberry Rock from their last encounter at Flemington. And I just think he's right place, right time. If this horse is trained by Kieran Maher, you can probably have a bit more confidence. But I think $8.50 is an exceptional price for this horse. And I think he's a genuine stayer who wouldn't look out of place come Melbourne Cup time. I don't think like he would make an impression in that sort of race. But I just think he's way over the odds here. And I'm pretty keen on Mostly Cloudy's chances. I've also backed Captain Envious at $26. And also, this is probably a donation, but there was $51 for Esty Fenny, and I had a tiny bet on it as well. I don't have too many knocks on the map other than really the price, I guess.
Yeah, like I don't have any knocks on it either. Like I think that it's favourite, but I don't think it's a $2.90 favourite. Like there's no knock on the horse. It's just like they're serving up $2.90. It's not the horse's fault. It's $2.90.
Yeah, just a little bit gross.
Yeah,
2,800 meter race, and you want to be taking $2.80. Yeah, not for me probably. Which is funny. Going into this week, I thought the map could be a mile in this race, but I've sort of changed my tune a bit, and I think Mostly Cloudy each way. You won't go wrong.
Yeah.
All right. Race 9, 1,600 metre, benchmark 100, Green Fly draws barrier 1. Bless him. I took him one out on day 3 of the Warrnambool Quaddie. And luckily, he just got over.
He was gone on the corner.
Oh, I know. Perfect ride by Luke Curry, just to save ground, cut back to the inside, just got over the top of So Risque. He's going to need another good ride by Michael D, drawn barrier 1. We know he's a get back run on horse. He's a $5 favorite from Dashing 650. El Soliato, $7. This is the new mouse wheel. Keeps running for Robbie Lang. Bankmore, $7. Gets up to 1,600 meters. Galeron, $9.50. And Munamek, $11.
Yeah, I like this race. I like this race a lot more until someone has cleaned up the price on Dashing. It's been a big firm. It's $11 and a $6.50. It wasn't. I didn't have any bet on it, but I would have loved to. I just didn't get around to backing it. But, anyway, I think there's no pace in this race. It's really interesting because there's no clear leader other than sort of Dashing. So I thought he sort of could come across and lead because there's a lot of horses that have no speed, which is definitely interesting. And that was sort of my angle. And the race it comes out of was... I was a high rating race last time and I was just sort of going to back it, but I have it $5 and I still probably have it as a bet, but I just not as keen now than I was, but that's okay. I want to back Galeron as well.
This is your horse.
Yeah. Didn't do anything last time. It sort of loomed up like it was going to win. And then the last 200 meters was awful. I don't know what happened. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's sort of, it was off, I don't know, second up. It sort of maybe it was out of an even race to into a really strongly run race. And sort of how long is it between? It's 28 days between runs. And back to a Flemington mile. And on that run, first up, you'd have to say that it's completely in this race. Like, it's drawn perfectly. It sort of can be somewhere near the pace, like closer than some of the other horses, like relative to these. But so the horses in this race, I think there were a couple out wide, because I didn't like the favorite. I didn't like Green Fly at all. I thought the price was, I thought what the early price assessors sort of just had no idea what should be favorite, and they just saw Green Fly as a last start winner and just put it favorite. But like, it doesn't have the ratings to be so short. So I have,
and it
Green
could be
Fly
a car crash.
Yeah, exactly. And it's drawn one, and it's probably going to end up a long way back, because it sort of does that. It's also a horse that I think is better on sort of
rain affected
deep ground. Yeah, like soft sort of 6-7 ground. I thought that Milford and Red Sun Sensation, they come out of the Edison race, and I like the Edison race because I think there's an angle, like, going forward, there's going to be a couple angles out of this race, because you'll see Edison and you'll think that, like, this horse is, like, it went out really fast and it just sort of held on, but it didn't go fast at all. The pace in the race was awful. They didn't go like to the 800 meters. Edison went 5 below, like they went really slowly. And it was sort of a big leader. So you've got horses out the back, like Red Sun Sensation was taken back from the wide barrier, and like the late splits were massive, and obviously so are Milford's. And they're both horses that can run big races. Like Red Sun Sensation ran third up, ran second in the JRA plate, ran second in the Victoria Country Cup's final. Like second the Cunton Cup, like it's a nice horse at its best, and Milford obviously was went through the winter months winning big races, like won some nice races, posting some big ratings, like just got knocked off by Young Werther, and Young Werther's obviously done what he's done since. I think Milford and there's just a couple angles in this race. I'll probably just have something small Milford, I'll have something small Red Sun Sensation, I'll back Dashing most likely, and I'll probably also back Galleron. There's a bit going on in this race.
Yeah, there sure is. It's wide open. Froggy will be hoping to do the same thing that they did on Edison last start. I think he's just the perfect rider for Dashing here. Gonna pick this race up by the balls and own it from barrier 15. I think leads clearly, but I can definitely see your point. Milford and Red Sensation as well. So plenty there for your quaddy punters. I think it's a quaddy where we can get some real value. Let's go to the last 1100 meter, 3-year-old race. She's All Shenanigans, $5 favorite from Icarus. It's definitely
Icarus.
Icarus. There you go. Third time lucky. I was wrong both times. Pondaleawi is $6.50. Unconquerable is $9.50. Walenda, $10. And Prince Zero, $10. But let's wrap this up quickly.
Okay. So the favorite She's All Shenanigans now. Okay. I don't think it's come back as well this time. I want to back two horses that are sort of unexposed. I want to back Unconquerable, who was a good winner at Caulfield. How sort of a short SP started even money Betfair. And Flying Means come out of the race, and it's got some nice SPs versus some nice horses. So Unconquerable and Harry Got Styles are the two I want to be on. I missed $26. I was spewing. But, you know, like it's $11 now. It might get a little bit better. I want to back both of those. I think they're both progressive horses. Icarus is a early favorite. Really nice time at Sandown. Just a little bit short. I think it's a really nice horse. It's the sort of horse I'd love to take $10 for, but it's not $10. It's for me, Unconquerable and Harry Got Styles are the exact same horse as Icarus. Like they're just like have the same profile. Maybe Icarus is a little bit more trendy just because it has the sharp sort of sectionals, but I think that the other two are just as I want to back those two in this story.
And a little form tick for Harry Got Styles, Heart of Glass, obviously won at Sandown on Wednesday.
So oh, yeah. Yeah. Knocked off my thing that was 13s into $5. Off a Murray Bridge maiden.
have a sook,
stock.
Mate. Have a sook.
Yep.
All right, let's go across to Doomin, shall we, where the punting form updated track rating is a heavy 8. So that is very, very interesting. We know Doomin is a lot tighter track than Eagle Farm, which makes the Doomin 10,000 very interesting. It is race 8, 1,200 meter group 1 with I Wish I Win. Probably the best sprinter in work in Australia right now. I think you can probably say that.
Yeah, you'd have to say that.
Yeah. But I Wish I Win probably takes that mantle. He's $2 favorite. From Espiona, $6. Private Eye, $6.50. Ballina Patina, $7. Chain of Lightning, $9. And Marzu, $15. That will no doubt trim up a little bit if the rain continues. But what's our thoughts on this map? This Body Bob is a horse that probably goes forward. Is that a roadblock to I Wish I Win, potentially?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it is. So he'll go forward and he'll collapse at the 600. I don't know. Win S, he probably gets into a perfect spot. I actually did this race really quickly. I think I Wish I Win's a little bit short. If you did off his best form, he's obviously a good, like he probably just wins. Like, I don't think any of these horses can match his best form, but it's just yes, he has J-Mac on, but gate one is just very tricky. I think he's a horse that will be extremely suited by a slow track because I think he is a 1,400 meter miler, and the slower tracks bring them back to him a little bit. So I think that he can. Yeah, but $2 is short. I think Espiona has to be somewhere in the conversation. Like, she was really good in the TJ. $6.50 is a fair price for her, and Wee Nessie was the other one. Even a horse like Marzu, like, yes, he hasn't been in the best of form for a period of time, but, like, if he somehow finds his best form, he was good on the heavy track at Randwick. Yeah, like I don't want to, like, Ballina Patina is she's been all over the place, but even her best form is somewhere in it. But I imagine she goes forward as well. So yeah, it's a tricky race, but not a race I'd like if I was betting in Queensland. This wouldn't be a race that I'd want to probably get involved in. If I was going to have a bet, I'd probably just have a tiny bet on Wee Nessie and hope that everything else falls apart and it just sort of falls in.
Yeah, I'm not growing up here. I Wish I Win. Best of the day for mine. I'll get my plug out the way. We've had a 5-unit play on I Wish I Win at $3 all in on the 6-day. So you can go and download the app. It's been a bit at $3. Mm. So it's nothing massive, but I doubt I would be having a 10-unit play at $2. So we're still getting the same for 5 units at $3. So I'm pretty happy with that. We got the news that our overpass wasn't going to run. And we were happy to take the $3 all in.
It would have been a great bet overpass in this race.
Yeah, he would have been clear cut second favorite. So we've trimmed a bit of percentage there, and we've done well, but we still need to get the result. Yes, gate one is a little bit tricky, but I'm just not going to grey up. And I just think with this soft track, by the time race 8 comes around, they will start to be getting off the fence. And James McDonald has two options. He either flops out the back and goes around him, or he does try and be a little bit positive early and ride for luck. And there's no other jockey I'd rather have riding for luck than James McDonald. I know Luke Nolan's a little bit unlucky not to have this ride, but at the end of the day, we're punters. We're having our cash on, and the owners want to be winning a Group 1 race. I'm happy with James McDonald. On this horse was really good in the Everest. Oh, sorry, not the Everest, the TJ. He ran the fastest final 400 of the entire meeting and the fastest 4 to 2. Just the fastest final 400 of the meeting. And he sort of just peaked on the run ever so slightly that final 200 metres. I think that was just the fact that he was first up. So with natural improvement, I think he turns the tables on some of those horses coming out of the TJ. And this race, it just feels like a lot of horses are beaten up. Bella Nipotina has travelled the whole of Australia. You can say her form is excellent, but she just doesn't win these races. She'll probably run third or fourth again. Private Eye is coming off that run on the bog, the same as Espiona. Can they bounce back to their best off that really taxing run? Maybe they can, but I just think I Wish I Win sets up perfectly here, and he'll love this soft seven track. I think that's what it'll be on the day. And at the end of the day, he's the best sprinter we've got. So I'm just happy to back him in. Second up, perfect. Takes fitness benefit. And all he needs is a slice of luck, and he's our best of the day.
Mm.
All right. There you go. Race five. We see a very – is it race five? No, it's race six. We see a very exciting two-year-old in Angel Capital, the Spirit of Boom Classic, 1,200-meter Group 2. Tell us what this horse did on debut. Bot 1,000-meter maiden at Cranbourne, and he was ultra impressive. But what did the ratings tell us?
They walked, and then it only really got going the last 200 meters, and it went seven above the last 200 meters. So, the most exciting thing about this horse is that it's bred to be good too. So like it's a brother to Barclay Square and what's it called, the grey horse that's over in Hong Kong should have won the Queensland Derby a couple of years ago.
The Stayer.
Chris Waller's horse. Yeah.
Senior Toba.
Yeah, Senior Toba. This is its brother.
Yeah, right.
It's by Harry Angel, who obviously was a sprinter. So this probably ends up being a miler. What it did on debut was, like, you don't see it very often. Jamie Carr's gone up to Queensland to ride this horse. I think it probably wins the... If broadsiding is in one piece, and he's obviously favourite because he won the champagne and all that sort of stuff. But you know, like if there's any other horse I think can beat him or go to a better level than him, I think it'll be Angel Capital. I think this is a really, really good horse.
Beautiful. I don't have too much to add, but I will be backing him, unlike Bot, who only bets in Victoria. You can sort of get $3.80. I think that's a fair price.
Yeah, I wouldn't even be surprised if he gets beat here, though. Like,
no, I wouldn't be surprised either. Clinton McDonald has come out and said this is potentially going to be a bit of a vulnerable run. They're not going to be bustling him out of the gates from Barrier 11, and Doomben's a bit of a tighter track, but I'm just going to look past that and back him on talent. It was a soft track there, Cranbourne on debut. Pretty much went from walking to sprinting really, really fast there. Ran the fastest last 200 of the meeting, sort of 5.5 lengths above the class for his final 600. And it was just instant acceleration. You think only up to 1,200 metres, he's only going to improve off that. And even if there are some nice horses in this race, look, this is a horse we've already backed for the JJ Atkin. So... I reckon he can be winning this on his way to 1,400 metres and then the mile.
I think that Rich Doddy will start almost favourite in this race. I think it's it opened $10, it's $7.50 now. I think it's probably going to start favourite. That race at the Caulfield Heath, I'm always very cautious of sort of taking form out of the Caulfield Heath, just because it's like it's only had like three meetings there. There's been like how many horses out of that race? There's been one, two, three, four, five horses. Two of them have won. Stormberg's come out and run third in the that race behind Stanley Express, the Vobis race, and then ran second again last weekend. and Over the Stars ran really well at Warrnambool. So that's a really, really hot form race, and it rated really well. Blue Renegade won again at Sandown, won at Sandown after running second there. And Rich Doddy is his mum is it's out of Princess Coupe, who started favourite at Cox Plate and a Caulfield Cup and was a really good horse. And Princess Coupe is Argentia's mum as well. So I think it'll start favourite.
But isn't the market still, as you said, a little bit cautious of this Heath meetings so far? Like, I just don't know if they're going to grab hold of it. We saw on the Heath, and then next start at Caulfield, it was $2 out to $3. I just don't know if the late market has that trust in that track yet.
Yeah, maybe not. But I guess that could be an opportunity. But at the same time, they'll still, you can still measure it off sort of the other horses that have come out of the race if you really wanted to. But I think Rich Doddy is a really nice horse, and I wouldn't be surprised if it wins. But I think Angel Capital is the best horse in the race, but it's probably for the JJ Atkins, not the 1,200 meter race.
Yeah. All right. Race 9 is the Rough Habit Plate 2,000 meter Group 3 Autumn Angel 260 from Tannhauser 550, Kintyre 650, and Port Lockroy 750.
This is impossible, isn't it?
No, I'm happy to back in the favourite. She'll come in a few spots after the emergencies come out. So, don't worry about 14. She'll come into, I don't know, maybe 11 or 12. And the field will sort of compress a bit. This is the best three-year-old filly in Australia, no?
No, Australia is.
Best over a trip anyway. Best 1600 meter plus.
I think Zardozi still probably like has the mantle.
Yeah.
She just got beaten by pace.
Maybe, but Autumn Angel did beat her last start, and I thought she was absolutely enormous in the Adrian Knox the start prior with 61 kilos, only just beaten by Good Banter, and was sort of wide the entire trip. Gets in, this is just a normal set weights race here, so the mares get 55, the boys get 57. I just think she's going to be too good. Look, she is fifth start of this preparation now. She's 2,400 back to 2,000, but...
Yeah, she's 35 days between runs as well.
But I don't know. I'm trusting Moods in here, and I think we'll end up
getting... That 2,400-meter race wasn't a 2,400-meter race. That was like a 600-meter race.
Yeah, I understand that, and I think she's best at 2,000 meters, which this is. And Kintyre and Tannhauser, they come out of that... What was it? Was it the Frank Packer?
Yeah, I think so.
On that really weird, biased, heavy track where Kintyre had the run up the inside. Tannhauser started $2.50 favorite, and he was actually really good. One of the only horses to circle the field on the day and make any ground. But at the end of the day, he's still only one from 11. Kintyre is... I just don't think he's in the same class as Autumn Angel. And no, I think there's not. I think there's a big chance we get $3 just because... She's drawn barrier 14, and I'm happy to back her at that price.
The ratings discrepancy between them is just ridiculous. Like, yeah. Like, if she runs to her last start rating, she just completely smacks them. But there's a very obvious case for why she might not. But it's one of those ones where you know exactly why she's not $1.60. And if you're comfortable, if you're comfortable taking a bet, betting against the obvious queries, then like it's a very easy bet.
Yep. All right, that's all I had. Did you have any thoughts? Like race 5 is going to be a race of great interest for the punters. Gringotts $2.30 favorite from Territory Express $3. The market has a bit of a match race over the mile. Few good 3-year-olds going. No, Gringotts is a 3-year-old, or is he? No,
4-year-old.
4-year-old. Sorry. And Territory Express is a 4-year-old who won the, what was that race called again?
Midway Championship final.
Yeah, maybe it was. Anyway, the country championship, whatever.
I was there that day.
Well, you should know then, because this horse was pretty good beating Straight Acer and slicing through the pack. What do you think? Did you sort of think Territory Express is the one?
I thought it probably should be. Well, it's how many days between runs? 35, obviously, because same as Angel thing. It's 30 days between 35 days between runs, but it's a horse that doesn't have much speed too, and it's drawn two, so that's another query. I don't know many of these. I know Gringotts. It went to a new level, winning the Tamworth Cup. I don't know. Like, do you want to take the Tamworth Cup form to town, to Doomben? I don't know. I'd lean the way of Territory Express, but this is not my go. But I am, just looking at the numbers and whatever. But Robbie Dolan from an inside barrier on a horse that gets back is not exactly something I'd probably love. Because, don't know. Seems gross to me.
All right. Yeah, I didn't have too many thoughts in that race. All right. Do you have any other bets around the grounds Friday,
no,
Saturday,
I haven't
Sunday?
I've been working.
Yeah, you have. Good man. Race 8 at Belmont, probably just one to put on your radar. Western Empire, well, he returned to the winner's enclosure in really impressive style.
Is he racing again?
Yeah, the Belmont Sprint, Group 3 over 1,400 metres. He's pretty short at $2.10, drawn barrier 15. It's actually not a bad race with sort of Al Safina, Magnificent Andy, Valor Road, Baby Paris, Triple Missile. So it's probably as good as what WA can sort of offer at that sort of second tier sprinting level, but very keen to see Western Empire go around. Probably want a little bit better price.
Keeping him to shorter distances, which is interesting.
Well, he was 1,200 last start. It's good to see them actually. It was 1,300. They do step him up a little bit in distance here to 1,400.
I think drawn 15. It looks like a car crash incoming.
Maybe, but Belmont can be a little bit more forgiving than Ascot. Longer straight. And I think he'll look to target. There's a 1,600 metre race. Is it the Strickland? I don't know. There's a 1,600, an 1,800 and a 2,000 coming up. I think they're sort of group two, group three in Perth. I forget the names of all of them, but he might go to some of them.
Triple Missile.
Yep. And then Sunday in Hong Kong, there's a decent class one, race three. Haven't really settled on one just yet. Potentially Packing Treadmill. Healthy Happy is going to lead that race with a 61. And Packing Treadmill, dropping in weight, is just going to sit right behind, stepping up to 1,400 meters. Sort of entertains me, but just wait and see the market there. All right, have you got anything for a backlay prey, Will?
I don't know. I don't really have a best bet. What could be my best bet? I think Acceleration can be the prey. Oh, actually, no. I think I'll say Waltz on By can be my prey. I think she should be favorite, not like a dominant favorite, like a 650 favorite, but my best bet. I don't know. I'll lay. What was the one I hated earlier in the? It's like $9 now, so I can't. Maybe I'll say Neonce will be my best bet. It's the cheap way out. Like, it's a $3 shot. Like, I'm not gonna. But
mate, $3 is triple your money.
Yeah, I think it should be $2.40. That's good enough.
That's my best bet. Day of the week. All right, my best bet. I'll go even cheaper and go, I Wish I Win, race 8 Doomben. But if you're a subscriber, you've got $3 hopefully. It has been a bit of a tough run the last few weeks, but we promise we will hit back hard coming into the Brisbane Winter Carnival, and we'll start to be dropping some futures bets for the spring as well upon us. So make sure you get on there early. It is a bit of a trick that some players fall into with just my subscription service, that they join when spring starts. And a lot of the time we've already dropped futures bets months prior. So last year we were sort of tipping up without a fight in the Cups double in June. So make sure you get on there early. That's not just me trying to take your money. That is me genuinely saying we do start tipping really early. My prey will be It's Our Time in the straight six, $12. We might get a little bit better than that. Also, like Mostly Cloudy at the value in the race after. And The horse I'll put my sword through is Mirazine in race two at Flemington. Can definitely win. Probably a deserved favourite, but I would have Euphoric and Cadmus and Mirazine sort of all priced pretty similar around that $5 mark. So I think there's an edge with Cadmus and Euphoric at $7 and $8.50.
Sweet.
All right, a couple of questions, Bot. Your favourite part of the podcast.
Yeah.
All right, the first is from Coops Irwin. Bot, which current horse would you say you are the most similar to?
This is exactly why this is my favourite segment.
It's a running joke ever since you said you used to pretend to be horses growing up.
Allegron.
Slow, needs jumps. All right, favorite Ryan horse. Deeth, disguised as RP fan. We found out who it is on Twitter. When is Gator coming on the pod? We do have plans to get Gator on eventually, but he's just a very busy man with his Sky Racing commitments and doing stuff for Oz Racing form. So hopefully in the spring. Probably don't want to waste him before then. Do you guys think it's racist to have a race dedicated to grey horses segregation much? No, the grey race is one of the highlights of the year.
Oh, it's the best. Yeah. I love it.
Do you guys think it's disrespectful to call slow horses camels when they try as hard as they can? Interesting one from Ryan. Tice, can we be talking more about basketball in the racing chat, please? Yeah. So the playoffs are on right now, punters, and the chat has been dominated by basketball, but you know what? Stuff your Tice. We're landing a few multis courtesy of Jack Adam, so it's been good. Even I've been getting around it. Tice, Ben, why'd you tell me to cash out? This is in reference to Tyson's $4,000 multi payout of $50. He cashed out for $1,000. He had the open going in the last leg, and I just said what was the horse that I backed again?
LEU.
I just said I was backing LEU. I didn't say cash out, but Tyson bitched it. So anyway, shouldn't have cashed out. My suggestion was actually just to put 500 on LEU, and he would have won $1,000 if LEU won, and then 3,500 if the open won. But anyway, suck shit, Tyson.
Neither of them won.
Yeah, well, then you lose $550, but he's good for it. Tice, Bot, why does Stu eat crayons for? Is that a genuine question? I don't know.
Probably does.
Stu says, what do I win for being the best tipster last week? Bit of self-insertion here. See what I see. Shock him over. Benedetta on the day. How can you say? So he didn't even tip Benedetta on the podcast. He backs it on the day. He's still trying to tout it. Lay AJ plus the next best was scratched. So he's even touting that his next best was scratched.
Well, it's still a return.
That's a return. Stu, this is all-time weird areas. I think you stole the shock him over bet off Fizzer anyway, so I'm not giving you that. Stu, more relationship advice. What are these relationship questions? Stu, what relationship advice does Ben have for me? Should I marry Reenie Babe?
Can we stop now? Fuck.
I've got to read all these out. Sorry, but Tice, can Gronk replace Nico during the off season?
That's Stu.
All right. And two more from Ryan. How do you blokes feel about the fact that Stuber tipped more winners than yous last week?
Mate, it's embarrassing.
That is pretty depressing. Yeah, but it was Stu's time to shine. Stu's time to shine. Goodwood handicap day. Ryan, Ben, if you and Liz were horses, how much would you guys be able to sell your offspring for? All right, that is officially the worst question segment ever.
Yeah.
But I'd say probably a couple mil. Have you seen Frankel's stud fee at the moment?
Oh, yeah. It in Dubai, we're like $500,000 or something like that.
It's like over 300,000 pounds, like 350,000 pounds. That's just ridiculous. Yeah, what's that?
It's like $650,000, $700,000.
$700,000, yeah. $650,000. So you have to be selling your offspring for like close to a million just to be making it worthwhile. But anyway, he's absolutely flying, Frankel. All right.
It was a pretty good horse.
Yeah, he was all right. All right, let's wrap it up there. It is currently 10:35 p.m. And I need some sleep, so do you.
So do I.
All right, thank you, punters. We'll see you back here next week. Don't know what the races are, but we'll be betting for sure.